Church in Harrisville, PA, that's western PA, about 30 miles east of the Ohio border. We are closer now than when we first began. We are already considering plans to reopen soon, our church, in safety, of course. We started our prayer meeting back, and we had seven meeting this past Wednesday. We met in a place where we were seated apart, safe distance. None of us have, or had at that time, or have COVID-19, so we couldn't spread it. We had a nice time in prayer at Wednesday. We're looking forward to opening up in a safe manner in just a little while, perhaps another couple of weeks. We'll be phasing that in. But for now, here we are again. I don't really want to get used to this because it's actually easier. Sunday, it's all day for me. Two sermons on Sunday, one in the morning, one in the evening. This is just one sermon in the week, and don't have to prepare bulletins or anything like that. So it's actually a bit easier, although being focused on a camera and all is a little unnerving. Nevertheless, I will endeavor to do the best I can, because my desire is to glorify God. So I want to glorify God in the things that I say. So I'll begin by reading a little bit of the Word and praying, reading the Word some more, praying, then reading the Scripture from which our text will come. The Apostle Paul, actually Peter, in his first epistle, writing, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Almighty God, who shows to them that are in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all those, unto all of us who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ religion, that they and we may avoid those things that are contrary to our profession of Christ, and follow the things that are agreeable to God. The psalmist, Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Our God is in heaven. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. The earth has he given to the children of man. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord, and may we be found praising the Lord in our soul, from our heart, as well as from with our body. We ask, O Lord, that thou would find our lives pleasing in thy sight through faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, Lord, that thou would reveal more our sin to us and give us that grace of repentance, that we may turn from that sin and walk in the other direction to your glory. We ask, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that you forgive us all our sins according to promise, and plants and place grace within. May our hearts swell in love for thee and for each other. Again, walking and talking, the conversation, the life, the lifestyle that is pleasing unto God. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, world without end. And all God's people say, Amen. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 once again. I'm going to focus on two verses at the end of the chapter. And I'll talk some more after I read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the entire chapter, which is only 10 verses. This is the Word of God, the only infallible, inerrant Word of God on planet Earth. There is no other Word of God. inspired by God, the prophets, the apostles, wrote the scriptures. These are precious. The Bible is a precious, precious book. And thanks be to God, it's so available in these beloved United States and in many other places as well. Praise the Lord for that. So let's hear from God's Word the wisdom of Solomon found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou dost not know what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. For now thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. May God bless the reading of His sacred word to our hearts and minds. Once again, Lord Jesus, we ask Thee to be with us, that Thou communicate through me, through others as well, the Word of God, the truths of God. In this particular case, Lord, bless the message that comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10 in particular, for thy great name's sake, for it is in that name and that name only we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to speak to young people about young people. So I'm speaking to preteens and teens, college and career age, young adults, young married couples, married couples with children, even grandparents. I'm really speaking to everyone, but particularly, especially to the young, and to parents with young children and teenagers. But you know, when you tell people, you say, you announce, I'm going to talk to the young people. I'm going to talk to your children. Parents' ears go up. They want to hear what you have to say to their youngster. Which is right. So listen up, everyone. Because I'm speaking about young people, not even to young people, but you parents need to listen as well. Well, the Word of God in verses 9 and 10 turn our attention to the young. Before this, it was about the natural joy of life under the sun. Verse 7, for example, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. It's talking about natural life on earth, under the sun, beautiful spring day, little taste of paradise, if you will, in some cases, minus all the bugs and things like that. But there is such a thing as a natural joy, a natural pleasantness or pleasure to be had in the day. And then also, I spoke a time before about the spiritual implications of all this. Well, now, in a similar way, the wise writer turns to the joy and strength of youth. Let's hear from verses 9 and 10 once again. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I have 3 points to this. I want to first address this rejoice young man. I want to talk about that. Then, the warning. Rejoice, young man, but be warned. And finally, in the third point, I want to speak on considering our heart and our heel, like in foot heel or in walk. So those 3 points, rejoice, young man, but be warned, consider thy heart and thy heel, or thy walk. So we begin today saying rejoice. That's an exhortation by God through the wise writer exhorting us to rejoice, especially to young people. Rejoice. It's the natural thing to do. It's built in. God made young people, especially, to rejoice in the natural order of things. In the day of their youth, they are to rejoice and be glad there in the day. We grow from childhood into adulthood with a strength of life and energy that are the natural design of God and a good gift of God itself, as one writer puts it. It's a gift. But the gift, of course, is not the same for everyone because of the fall, because of sin, because of the adversities of life, the afflictions of life, which touch adults. They also touch children as well. So, not everyone is given the strength of youth, the exuberance of youth, because some children are touched by illness and affliction that hampers them. But the general thrust of this is that the normal pattern of life in childhood and youth is to be energetic, energized, and to live life to the full, and to enjoy that life that you have been given. Because young youth and the exuberance of it, the energy, is a gift of God. In the natural realm, it's a gift of God. Youth is a time of discovering the world that God has made and sustains to this very day. It's a time to make plans, to seek things that will come about in the future. It's to find our place and our calling, as it's called, in our life.
The world that God made opens up all kinds of opportunities
to the young eye, that the clouded eye of old age doesn't see anymore. Childhood and youth are a great gift of God. Hence, the saying,
son, daughter, your whole life is before you. It is opening up like a blossoming flower, opening up before you. Sniff its fragrance.
Take it in with pleasure. The Word of God addresses this reality of childhood and youth. It says,
rejoice in it. Not because you're young. It's not saying, meaning, rejoice because you're young, but rather, rejoice in that which God gives you, which God lays before you. Let thy heart cheer thee, or, being interpreted, make good thine heart, with that which is right and is fitting to its joy. The text exhorts the young man or woman to do this in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart. That is, explore your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your interests, and follow through with enthusiasm and eagerness. Live your life, the life that God has given you. And start developing that life. Start developing your talents and your gifts and your abilities and your interests. Now, while you have the energy and the trust, this is what Solomon was talking about in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes when he says, I made great works. I built my houses, I planted vineyards, I made gardens and orchards. I engaged in life's activities, and it was a blessing. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor. He accomplished so much. He had the energy, of course, and the gifts and the talents, and he just developed them by going out and working and laboring with joy. As he says in the first chapter, it arises from the heart. And also in verse 9 of this book. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. It's the issues of life come from the heart, right? Out of the heart come forth the issues of our life. So the heart pulsates with the issues of our life. They come from it. And the joy in the activity itself of laboring and building, as well as a sense of achievement, are its proper fruit and portion as we consider our hearts. Solomon says, this was my portion of all my labor. His heart was in it. In other words, his soul was in it. And God is saying that it is natural for young people to have a heart and soul that is breaking forth, opening up to the world around them. Rejoice in that. get turned on about it. There's a problem, however. The heart is a spiritual and ethical center of our life. The spiritual direction center in and of our activity. It's also the fountain of sin. That's in our nature, and sin stains every activity in which we're involved. In the deepest sense, the Christian, the born again, the regenerated heart, if you will, has a new life in Christ and is lived by faith in the Word of God. But you see, we live by faith through the presence of the flesh. And because of indwelling sin, we live by faith. Yes, that's a new principle of life, but there's indwelling sin in us. And so, the pollution. Hence the warning. In the second, the latter part of the verse, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Well, see now, what are we being told? On the one hand, we rejoice, we're to rejoice, we're to live life to the full, with gusto, with vigor, be enthusiastic. The whole world is opening up around you, and just take it in and let it fill you up and put your heart and soul, as well as your mind and might, into it. And develop yourself. Now's the time to look ahead with freshness, fresh eyes, and go forth in joy. But then there's this warning that all the things that you do are going to be brought forth in judgment. Well, what's God saying here? Okay, He's checking us. He's checking you young people. He's saying that you, young man, young woman, are a sinner. And that because of your sin, you're going to bring forth works that and activities that are full of sin, that are stained with sin. And you're going to be judged according to these works that you do. So, in order for you, young people, and parents, pay attention, because you need to teach this to the very young. Train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. Parents, you need to teach your children that everything you do is going to be subject to the judgment of God. Therefore, keep your focus on the Creator. Keep your focus on the Lord. In our pilgrimage and delight in the creation under the sun and in the joy of youth and its energy and works, we are called to rejoice by remembering the Creator and His creation. Now, the foolish person doesn't have God in any of his thoughts. He has a home life that is full of self, of man, of things of this world. The emphasis is on many things. But the Lord and God is absent from it all. And so that child's mind and heart are filled with worldly things. Things that pertain to this world and to him or to herself. This is not the rejoicing of youth to which the text calls us. Rather, it is a godly joy in the strength of our life in the service of God, which is the rejoicing to be sought after and which will shape our walk. No, it's not any desire of the heart, but it's desire to make the heart good with the and through the works and the labor and the efforts that you employ. Not just any desire. It's not party, hearty kind of thing. It's not live life to the full with all gusto by drinking and drugs and illicit activities, perverse activities. And that's not what he's saying. Spend your time and your energy and your youth doing evil. The call is here that you are to rejoice making good home, making good your heart, to cheer your heart, making it good so that you live with a good conscience before the Lord. The wise writer in Proverbs says similarly to the son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth or contrary mouth, and perverse lips put far from them. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We will be brought before God in the hall of judgment. We will stand and give an account of the things that we have done. A believing child of God whose sins are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness also labors. But he labors in the fear of God. Not trembling fear of torment kind of fear, but in reverence of God, in the knowledge that God is looking upon him and is delighting in what he is doing and the way he is going. And so, warning here in the latter part of verse 9 to the child of God, to the believer in Jesus Christ, is not a threat, but a sobering, life-transforming truth. And it serves that young person to keep his life from a terrible way of walking, a heedless walk into sin. It's like, you know, going into a dark room with a blindfold, not knowing where you're going, what you're doing, and you're going to just walk into a disaster at some point along the line. No, but this warning keeps the child of God focused. It gets his attention. And it tells him that he wants to develop in his gifts, his talents, his abilities, with enthusiasm and the energy of youth in a way that cheers his heart. In a way that does his heart good. Therefore, in the following verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Okay, so we have a few things here to work out. Remove sorrow from that. If you're going to enjoy your youth and develop into the child of God with all joy that's intended for you, then you need to remove sorrow from the heart. The sorrow to which the wise writer refers is the sorrow that comes from sin, the regret that comes from living a life that is full of sin. I know people that have done drugs for many years. In fact, much of their youth was occupied with drugs or drink. And there's sorrow from that. It envelops your life. It takes over and it lasts, it lingers, so that even when you come off the drug or you come off the drink, there's still a lingering effect. There's a scar. People that live with terrible sin, it could be that kind of sin, it could be sexual sin, it could be any of a number of sins, and occupy their young days with this sin, it develops a sorrow, a sadness. We're built that way. And so, what the wise writer is saying is, put the sorrow that comes from sin, put that sin that comes from the heart for the issues of life, comes from the heart, put that sin aside. Get rid of it. Do not allow your heart to fling itself into the arms of sin. Mortify sin within your members and put away that sorrow that is associated with living a sinful existence. A lot of young people are living sinful lives. Their parents aren't any help in many, many cases. And I'm not just talking the physical abuse, but the spiritual abuse, the lack of spirituality that parents give to their children, the immorality or the, at best, amorality that they give them, doesn't help. And it leads the child into, if it's not drugs and drink and all that, it's selfishness and pride and arrogance. And that produces sorrow. Put those things away. Parents, put them away from your children. Teach them to mortify sin within their members. It's already there. Like I told my children, you don't have to teach your child to say no. It will come naturally to them. Rebellion is the natural state of a sinful soul. You need to put it away. Likewise, put away evil from thy flesh, from thy foot, from thy walk, from thy heel. In other words, do not walk in the path of evil. Scripture says in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, Paul writes, flee also youthful lust. So the calling here is both internal and external. Put away sin in the heart as well as in your walk. Consider a healthy soul and a healthy body. Full on. The Lord addresses the full man, the full woman, in his youth. Check your heart out. Do those things which are pleasing in God's sight, that make your heart cheer, that cheer your heart with joy, that God is delighted in you. And put away a sinful walk. You know, turn on your heel in the opposite direction. Walk away from that sinful lifestyle, that worldliness that is abundant and surrounds us all. You just have to look on television, listen to the radio to find out what worldliness is. I don't have to explain worldliness to you. The whole world is worldly. It's all over the place. I need to be careful not to walk as they walk and not to talk as they talk. And one way not to walk as they walk and talk as they talk is to, parents, Train your child in the way he should go so that when he's old he will not depart from it. It's simple and yet not. Don't believe the satanic lie that says, look, I am going to let my children decide on his own when he's old enough what religion he wants to follow. That's too late. You've already given him over to Satan, to the world, for his whole entire existence as a youth. What decision do you think he's going to make? Apart from the grace of God, he's not going to make any decision but that which is evil in God's sight. Now the reason for all this is given at the very end of verse 10. For childhood and youth are vanity. Vanity? You mean empty? No, obviously not. Childhood and youth are not empty. But what he's saying here is childhood and youth are fleeting. They're passing away. Young people, it's just for a little while that you're young and exuberant and full of energy and all that. Old age sets in. The infirmities of old age eventually come upon us all if we live that long. And so, what the wise writer is saying is that childhood and youth, as wonderful as they are, as that is, as the true gift of God in the natural realm, the natural gift of God, are transitory. They're moving away from you quickly. And so just as the purpose of the previous verses was to set before us the contrast between the light and the days of darkness, so these verses contrast the strength of youth and the infirmity of old age in the same way, in other words, saying that both things are transitory. You need to fix your eye on something else. Focus in on something more important. Therefore, consider God the Creator, remembering Him now, even at the time of youth and in the days of youth. And you will grow into old age well. You will grow up well. Walk, even as Christ walked before the Father all the days of his life on earth, cognizant of walking, doing the Father's will, with every work. And that's what you are to do, young people. You need to focus your attention on things above, where Christ is. That's where you're going. That's where you want to be. You want to be where Christ is in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you shall be also. Focus your attention on that. Focus your attention on gathering today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your days, heavenly treasure. Because you see, this is fading. The focus is to be on Christ. The focus is to be on the things that last long, that are long lasting. Youth is not everlasting. You need to focus on the things that are not passing away. Youth is passing away. Focus on that which is not passing away. And this is a message for all you parents with young children, that you need to really train them well. In other words, train them to focus their attention on Christ, what really matters, on what he teaches, the way he lived, what he prescribes, the life he prescribes for us to live. Train them now. When they're young, get their attention, and in so doing, you will cheer their hearts. You will help them to develop a healthy heart as well as a healthy body, to the praise and to the glory of God. in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Wisdom abounds in the Bible. In these two verses, so much to take in, to live by. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to live by your word. We want to be a delight in your sight. Forgive us our sins, Lord, our weaknesses. They keep on coming. They come up all the time. Oh yes, I want to do good, but there's sin within me. Give us grace to come, overcome more and more as we look to the clear day in Jesus Christ and his return on the clouds of glory to bring us to where he is. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we come in your name only, Jesus Christ. Amen.